Hi everyone. We are going to have a session on retail marketing environment. I'm Prakash Almeida. So I would be your trainer, your facilitator, you know, for this entire session. Okay. So before we begin, let's understand exactly what retail marketing environment is going to be. Now we have divided into six modules. The first module what we're going to start right now is introduction to retailing. So let's begin. Now. What is retailing? Okay, retailing is a business which sells goods directly to the end customer. Now, when I talk about retailing, retailing could be anything. Okay, retailing could be in terms of your local kirana shop. Okay, retailing could mean probably a DMart, a lifestyle, or a shopper stop. Okay, when you buy goods from say one particular setup, it could be a kirana shop, your local vendor, or it could even be say a multinational brand from where you buy your groceries. Now let's start. Okay, retailing is a business which sells goods directly to the end customer. Now when I talk about retailing, retailing involves various aspects. Like you have a distributor, you have a wholesaler, a supplier who sells goods to other businesses. Now let's move to the other aspect. Now retail is a front end of the business. Now, when I talk about front end of the business, I'm talking primarily about people, you know, who sell goods to us. Now, this could mean that, let's assume that I have a requirement for a grocery, okay, in the house. From where do I buy it? I do buy it from a local kirana shop. Or probably I would go to a DMart to buy groceries. Now this is something what we are aware in terms of retailing, but that's not the only thing about retailing. Now, when I talk about retailing, you also have retailers who have set up their own manufacturing units. Now when I talk in terms of retailing, retailing is one aspect where we buy goods directly, you know, from a shopkeeper. And when I talk about a shopkeeper would go ahead, okay, and buy goods from a wholesaler. A shopkeeper is nothing but a retailer here. But if I'm talking about the entire process, you have a manufacturer who produces goods, okay, then he sells it to a wholesaler, probably in bulk, okay, then you have something as a retailer who gets goods directly from the wholesaler, and this is where we are as consumers. We buy directly from the retailer. Now, this is probably one way in terms of the entire cycle works. But there are other aspects to it. Like some of the retailers have gone ahead and set up their own manufacturing units. So in case if you have ever been to a Star Bazaar, right, you'll always find that there will be certain commodities which will be there, okay, which are being produced or manufactured by the retailer itself. And this is what we call as backward integration. Now, when I talk of backward integration, we don't have probably wholesaler retailer here, okay? Because, I mean, the whole cycle won't be there, but you would be having the manufacturer who himself would be a retailer who will be selling the goods directly to the customer. Now, let's move to the next slide. Now, here, this is where we are going to talk about the channels of distribution. Now, the objectives of a distribution channel is to convert raw materials into processed goods to the final customer. Retailer buys goods from multiple sources. Okay, wholesalers buy goods from fixed or limited sources. Some big retailers also attract other small business to buy from them. Now, let me explain this to you, you know, in detail here. Now, when I talk about wholesalers here, okay, wholesalers preferably would go ahead and buy goods in bulk from one particular manufacturer. And he in turn would supply goods to various retailers across cities or probably in a city. When it comes to a retailer, okay, a retailer buys goods from various wholesalers depending on the brands what he's endorsing to his final customer. Now, some big retailers also attract other small businesses to buy from them. Let's move to the other slide now. Okay, now this will give you a fair idea in terms of, you know, how the distribution happens. Like if you see, the the channels of distribution here, you have manufacturer product A, manufacturer product B. Now, they will directly sell it to a wholesaler. Now, the wholesaler is, you know, endorsing two products, that's product A and product B here. Similarly, you have a wholesaler here, okay, who is purchasing goods from manufacturer for product C and product D. The same goes to a retailer. A retailer would go ahead and buy products directly from a wholesaler. And then that's the final customer. Now, if you look at the whole channel of distribution, you have a manufacturer, you have a wholesaler, and then you have a retailer, and then the end customer. Now, these channels of distribution may vary depending upon the kind of business or the kind of model you're working with. We will talk about these models as we move forward. Okay. Now, let's talk about the functions performed by a retailer. In simple words, why do we need a retailer in the first place? Now, let's understand the first important aspect is called the place utility. Okay, bridging the distance directly from the manufacturer location to the consumption location. Like, these days in India, okay, we are using a lot of Chinese-made goods. A lot of production which happens in China, and we are the ones who are consuming it here. It could be products which are manufactured even for Diwali. It could be products which are manufactured, say, a mobile phone. Now, this retailer is the one who helps us in probably using the place utility. So, the product which has been produced or manufactured in another location, we would get it directly at the location where we are. So, the consumption patterns would also change thanks to a retailer being there, you know, between the consumer and directly the manufacturer. Now, let's go to the other aspect called as a form utility or the breaking bulk. Now, products are manufactured in bulk by most of the manufacturers. But the consumer is the one who buys it in small portions. The retailer is the one who would go and probably, you know, break this bulk. He would have it probably in huge quantities that would help him in terms of pricing as a factor. Okay, because buying in bulk will reduce the prices, and the same benefit can also be passed on to the consumer at the end of it. I mean, take into consideration the profitability margins as well. The other aspect is the stock holding, one of the most important functions of any retail segment, and definitely for a retailer. Now, when I talk about stock holding, you know, stocks needs to be carefully chosen. Like some stocks are perishable material, maybe may get spoiled over time. Hence, risky to hold stock. Like take for instance, you know, I'm the one who's going ahead and selling, say, umbrellas during a rainy season. Now, the amount of stock what I have should be proportional to the demand what I have when I'm selling these umbrellas. If my stock is huge quantities what I have, but at the end of it, if I'm not able to sell it to the direct customer, then that would mean a wastage. So as a result, when you talk in terms of a retailer is the one who needs to have an idea exactly how much stock would I need, okay, in proportion to the demand of the end consumer. Let's talk about the other services. The other most important services for a retailer would mean, okay, like certain things which are not there probably as a part of the service initially. Like if I have to put it in very simple words, it could be in terms of gift wrapping. It could be in terms of a parking facility. So if you are going to a Shopper's Stop, or probably a Lifestyle, or any of the malls, okay, in Mumbai, Delhi, or any metros, okay, you have the option while you're purchasing a commodity or a product, okay, they would ask you probably in case if there's a parking, the charges that will be reimbursed to you. So that could also mean that, you know, there's another benefit what you get out of it. And another most important thing is when you are going to these stores, okay, the most important thing is that you're going to buy quantities in bulk. Like if you're going to a hyper city or a hypermarket or a D-Mart, most of the consumers would go there, you know, to make purchases for the entire month in terms of groceries. Now, I would prefer going there provided I may have a parking space as well. Without that parking space, you know, I would be in two minds whether I can go ahead and do the shopping as well. And that's something which most of the retailers have understood, okay, as time has progressed. Now, let's talk about the other aspect, the demand creation. Marketing at retail front creates demand among customers and is an important function of a retailer. Now, I may have a particular product with me, but at the end of it, you know, it is also very important for my end consumer to know that we have the product and we are selling it. Now, this is where, you know, how a retailer goes and displays the product, okay, to the end consumer. Maybe it could be a kirana shop, it could be a store, or it could be a hypermarket. Now, how he does that, okay, gives a good idea in terms of creating a demand for the from the end consumer. Now, let's talk about the most the other aspect called as retail marketing. Now, retailing is the last link of the supply chain, and it involves direct customer interaction. Like the way we have explained earlier, okay, you have the manufacturer, you have the wholesaler, you have the retailer, and then you have the final consumer. Now, here we are talking about retail marketing being from the retailer directly to the consumer. Now, marketing at the retail front is to attract customers, okay, and to attract customers, okay, for retail is what we call as retail marketing. Now, retail marketing has two major objectives. The first objective being attracting customers to the store, and the second is persuade the customer to make the purchase. Now, in order to do this, okay, the most important thing that has happened over the last few years, especially in the retail segment, is the advent of technology. Now, technology helps to improve efficiency. Okay, it also helps us to probably prepare a data bank or a database of our customers. Like, these days, wherever we go in terms of shopping, so it could be a Shopper Stop, it could be a Hypercity, okay? At the end of the day, we have something called as a loyalty cards, which have been given to us. Now, this is where, you know, the store goes in and creates a data bank of customers, okay? And we can go in and profile our customers, how they are, and how much spending are they doing, okay, at our store. The other most important thing when I talk in terms of technology is that it would also help us in terms of, you know, making promotions, doing promotions across. This could be, you know, through, say, SMSs, okay? This could be online, okay? And that's one part of retail marketing. Let's move further. Now, let's talk about the retail value chain. Now, when I talk about the retail value chain, we are talking about the premium that is charged on a product, okay? And it also depends upon what value it offers. Like, value of a product, most important aspect. When I talk about a value of a product, it depends exactly what are the perceived benefits of a product minus the cost of the product. Now, this is something which is very important for the end consumer, because it's the perceived benefit is something which the consumer looks at. In simple words, it's a return on investment. The other aspects we'll talk about is the benefits of the product, okay, and the value associated with it. Okay, now when I talk about the value associated with it, that would mean that the image of the brand, what you are buying, okay, it could be in terms of, you know, the brand value that has been created by the product over a period of time, okay, and how much he values, the consumer values it against the competitors in the market. The cost of the product includes the price paid for the product, okay, the time and effort which goes in shopping for this particular product, and the risk of purchasing a wrong product. Like, if I have a product A which I've been using for a very long time, okay, how loyal am I to that particular product? Or am I in two minds in experimenting with the product B? Because I would always compare it to a product A. And I would always look in terms of risk of probably using, say, a product B. And when the consumer does this, that would mean that we, the manufacturer or the retailer, has been successful in terms of creating a value for that particular product. Let's move on. Now, benefits of a product includes, okay, the features, added services, okay, the parking facility which has been arranged by the retailer for us, the convenience of shopping. When I say convenience of shopping, I will be talking more in terms of customer service. I will be talking about, you know, the AC, probably at the store, okay, and the place which has been there, or the experience what you are giving to the end customer. Now, a retailer must identify these activities that add value to a product and those that do not add value to the product, because that could be detrimental in terms of selling a particular product or a commodity. Now, let's talk about the other most important aspect, is the change phase of retail. Over a period of time, okay, retail has changed shape completely. We started with a Kirana shop, we started with a local store, the house, and slowly and steadily, okay, a local store probably has been replaced by, say, a DMart or a Hypercity. And this has been an ongoing process. And this is where, you know, the whole segment has changed. Now, we will talk more in terms of the changing phase of retail now. Now, the retail industry has already gone through a lot of change. I mean, way back, you know, from 1990s till 2015, there's an influx of foreign brands coming in. Okay, economic changes, technological advances are changing the whole retail landscape in India. Now, customers today have a huge variety of choice, okay, and high expectations from their product. And they are looking in terms of a great experience in terms of shopping. Now, the major factors influencing this change are multi-store retail chains. Single stores are no longer economical. Big players are reaching out to tier 2 and tier 3 cities. Now, gone are the days where, you know, you would have a consumer who probably would be loyal to say one particular brand. These days, you know, the end consumer is looking in terms of options what he has. He's far more educated in terms of, you know, how things have been, okay, globally. He knows what was happening in the US, okay, what are the major products that have been launched in the US, okay, what are the options available, okay, in foreign markets, what are the options available online. So at this point in time, the customer looks in terms of comparison with various products. This is where a multi-store retail chains, okay, would appeal to most of the end consumers. Let's talk about the other aspect called as the large format stores. The large stores offer some variety and can get better share of the customer's wallet. Because here, again, there's a huge variety that's been shown, okay, and which appeals to the end customer. Technology-enabled efficiencies. New technologies have enabled retailers to cut costs and provide better customer service. Now, when I talk in terms of technology, we are talking not only in terms of, you know, giving a better experience to the customer, okay, but also increasing the time frame. Like earlier, you know, with most of the local Kirana shops, whenever you would be going for billing, okay, the gentleman out there would go ahead and look at the price, note down the price, okay, and then make a calculation either by himself or through a calculator. But since technology has changed, the billing has come across a huge change. Now, the barcodes of the product are just being scanned, okay, and you have the entire documentation of the number of products what you have purchased, as well as the pricing of the product, which is right there in front of you. And this also enables transparency. This also enables, you know, how quickly you are able to do your billing. And this is where technology has helped. And this is just probably one aspect of it. There are multiple aspects of it which we would cover as we move on. Let's move to the next slide. Now, this is where I would talk in terms of a technology in retail. Now, if you see here, 41% of retailers use data for improved customer service. Now, this is more in terms of collection of data, okay, either through loyalty cards, either through getting information directly from the customers. It could be even in terms of a feedback form, okay? And at the same time, you know, this data also helps for a retailer to understand how loyal the customers are. What are the buying trends of the customer, okay? How frequent is the customer to the store? Now, 1 in 3 retailers see more empowered customers as a force of change. 44% of the retailers will offer contactees payment in the next year. Now, this is something which is a trend which we are expecting. 34% retailers believe a yet unknown technology would be the main driver in changing customer expectations by 2020. Now, this is what most of the retailers have been looking forward to. Because with the advent of technology, okay, the whole retail scenario is changing. Like maybe 10 years back, no one would have ever expected, you know, that you would be doing or I would be doing my purchases online. Time has changed completely. People are more confident in probably swiping their card online and making purchases rather than seeing the product directly, you know, in front of them. And these trends would continue. Now let's talk about retailing in 2020. 36% of retailers believe the first generation consumers in emerging markets will be a driving force for a change over the next decade. Now this is where, okay, India, okay, would have greater prominence. Because most of the multinational brands are looking for India in terms of consumption. Because with the increasing population and, you know, the purchasing power of the population increasing multiple times, okay, the consumption patterns are bound to change as well. 43% of retailers believe mobile will become the most important channel, overtaking stores, PCs, call centers, and direct mail. Now, this is something which is already has happened. Most of the retailers have already understood the most important tool in terms of doing sales, or the most important tool in terms of retailing, is mobiles. Now, you have various applications which are there on iOS software and Android application, as well as the BlackBerry application. And this is a trend which has already started in India, and it is expected that by 2020, it would be one of the major factors influencing the retail segment. Now, let's talk about the empowered customer. Okay, lifestyle of a customer has changed rapidly. Spending power has increased, and shopping decisions are based on technology. Now, if you see, you know, when you talk about the mainstream computing, the personal computing, network computing, and smart computing, now, the customer today, the today's customer is more aware of technology which is right there at his fingertips. Probably that's a mobile phone. And he's very much aware that how we can use this technology for better sales experience, for better retail experience. Okay? And today, the customer is more powerful because he is more aware of the global trends. Now, let's talk about the integrated and dedicated distribution system. Now, this is where we talk about, you know, the various distribution systems which do exist in India. Now, the first one would be the bigger retailers. Now, the bigger retailers are entering into direct contacts with manufacturers, bypassing wholesalers from the chain. Now, this is where, you know, most of the companies have come in as the retail segment. Now we'll talk in terms of, you know, the distribution systems and the integrated and dedicated distribution systems which are a part of the retail segment. Now, as we discussed earlier, you have a manufacturer, you have a wholesaler, you have a retailer, and you have a consumer at the end of the chain. Now, as time has progressed, you know, you have various multinational companies, okay, big brands like Reliance have invested in the retail segment. Now, as big players have come in the market in retail, okay, the position of a wholesaler is almost becoming redundant, or probably it's not even required, because most of these retailers look in terms of directly being in touch with the manufacturers. Now, the bigger manufacturers, you know, prefer, you know, having directly contact with the retailers, because that helps them to probably sell their produce or sell their goods directly, you know, to the end retailer. And thereby, you know, the cost for the retailer would also be reduced, because the margin of the wholesaler is completely eradicated. Now, this is also impacts the speed and frequency of the replenishment. Now, let me make you understand when I say the replenishment. Like, if I have a product A, you know, which I have been selling to a wholesaler, and from the wholesaler it goes to a retailer. As the demand increases, the retailer would get in touch first with the wholesaler, and then the wholesaler will pass on the order to the manufacturer. Now, as a result, there's a huge time frame between the two. Now, this can be completely eradicated when a manufacturer directly gets in touch with the retailer. Okay, the turnaround time for the order to be placed and the order to be delivered reduces to a great extent, and that would help in terms of reducing cost, okay, reducing the cost of delivery, and at the same time ensuring, okay, greater efficiency. Now, the growth in retail is also leading to a decline in the wholesaling business completely. This is also helping retailers to attain better economies of scale. They are able to give a good pricing to the end customer because the benefit of what they are getting, they can be easily passed on to the end consumer as well. Now, let's talk about distribution chain here. Now, this would give you a fair idea exactly how the distribution channel works. Okay. Now, let's go to the traditional consumer buying. Let's talk about the traditional consumer buying at a retail outlet. Now, as we discussed, you have a producer, wholesaler, retailer, and the consumer. Now, the complete disintermediation, when I say disintermediation, I'm talking about, you know, it's a term that's been used to describe bypassing traditional intermediaries like wholesaler and a retailer in a distribution channel. So here you have a producer directly getting in touch with the end consumer. Now, this is one aspect of it. Okay, a producer directly with an end consumer, so you don't even have a wholesaler or a retailer in the picture. Now, the other aspect of disintermediation of a retailer could mean a producer and a wholesaler directly getting in touch with the end consumer as well. Now, let's talk about retailing of services. When I talk about services, okay, services almost, it's about an intangible product which cannot be seen or felt, okay, in a physical form. But it may involve a deed or performing an effort. Examples of services provided to consumers range from banking, health services, to dry cleaning or beauty salons. Most of the product retailers also provide some services to the end consumer. These services could also be a parking facility, a gift packing, okay, or a home delivery. Now, these services, in a way, would also help enhancing the product value. Like a home delivery, one of the most important aspects, you know, which probably a housewife would be looking at when she has to buy groceries for the month. Now, when she has to buy groceries for the month, you could imagine, you know, how much the quantities that could be. Now, carrying those huge quantities back home could be a little difficult for the housewife. So for her, the home delivery plays a very important role in terms of deciding from where she wants to buy it. Let's move on. Okay. Now, some features which distinguish a service retailer from a product retailer. The first important thing is intangibility. Services are not physical, cannot be possessed or cannot be seen or felt, etc. The quality of the services can only be assessed after it has already been performed. So once you have seen the services being performed, that is the time you would feel, you know, the quality of the service. Now, inseparability. Now, services have to be delivered directly. This means that the consumer often expects the services to be provided in a specific way or a specific individual. Like, take for instance, if you are going to a bank and talking about investments, you would like a financial planner to be there to provide you a service, not by a person who is not aware of the banking segment just coming there and talking about a product. The same applies for insurance. If you have to buy insurance, you'll be looking at a subject matter expert who would sell insurance. Now, this is something which is an expectation from the end customer. And this is what the service is, what they would be looking at in terms of a qualified person giving it to them. The other aspect is the perishability. Services are produced and consumed at the same time. You can't store services for future use. Empty hotel rooms, that will definitely won't work. Unsold theater tickets, okay, you won't get it back. If you have a show at around 8 o'clock, and in case if they have not been sold till then, that's a loss for the theater. And that would mean that it's a perishable commodity as well. Okay? And the value of this commodity vanishes if it's not been consumed at that particular time frame. Let's move on. Okay? The other aspect we're going to talk about is the inconsistency and variability. Service quality and consistency is a subject to great variability because they are delivered by people and human behavior is difficult to control. Now, inconsistency and variability. Now, this is one of the most important aspects which would hamper any retail product or a commodity. Because when you talk about a human behavior is dynamic in nature. The same service probably which I would get, say, in a restaurant A could be very different compared to a restaurant B. Because the behavior patterns of human beings or professionals would vary from place to place or from company to company. So just to sum it up, when you talk about a human behavior, it is rather inconsistent and very dynamic in nature. So it would vary from place to place, from company to company, or probably from one division to another division. Now, what we have discussed so far is about introduction to retailing. Now, as we move on, we are going to discuss the other chapters. So thank you for your attention.